You know, I keep moving that better.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Mr. McGinn. You just take a seat. Now, I've heard the evidence in this matter, and on the last occasion, I was provided a copy of the decision on the matter of McGee and Delaney, and also a copy of your submissions, Mr. McGee. And today set aside to argue for that in law. First and foremost, can I just confirm the prosecution rely upon they say this was a private private Southern Cross Railway Station is privately owned, so to speak, but it's accessed by the public. There's advertising literature throughout the station.
Yes.
There are retail premises throughout the station. That Mr. McGee admits he was posting over effectively advertisements in the forecourt, so to speak, and has given evidence to that effect. The argument is that it's a right to express his views politically, correct? Yep. And that's what we're here for. What I'm going to do is perhaps go through with Mr. McGee his submissions and ask him for clarification on certain things, and I'll ask you for comment in relation to it.
Your Honour, if you assist, I have had a little bit of time yesterday to have a look through the submissions of Mr. McGee, and I have done some written submissions.
Yep.
I was unsure as to how Your Honour would like to proceed with it. I have provided Mr. McGee with my written submission, so I have no doubt he will also discuss some of the issues that I've raised.
Yep.
I'm happy to provide Your Honour with a copy of the written submissions, not necessarily for me to read off them, but certainly to be able to refer to them.
Yep.
The prosecution would submit that it's quite a simple case of Section 10 of the Summary Offences Act of bill posting.
Yep.
However, obviously the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities is involved in that also.
Yep. Well, if you can hand those submissions up.
Yes, Your Honour. I would have provided that yesterday, however, I wanted to make sure that Mr. McGee had a copy also.
Thanks. I was in Ballarat yesterday, so. But I still got to go through this with Mr. McGee. Have you got your submissions there?
Yeah.
Just go to the actual search. I'm just getting Section 10 up in front of me. What Mr. McGee is charged with is posting a document on a structure, namely an advertising board, without consent of the occupier or owner, or any personal body having authority to give consent. The way the section reads, and just at the beginning of your submissions, Mr. McGee, you say that you plead not guilty to offence of posting bills, etc., and defacing property. Appreciate that's in the actual, that's what Section 10 says. Any person who posts any placard, bill, sticker, or other document on, or writes or paints on, or otherwise defaces any road, bridge, or footpath, etc. So it doesn't necessarily involve defacing does it?
That's just the full title of the charge.
Yeah, it's, so, that's the full title, but I don't think it, I think it's a, I don't necessarily think just because you post means you deface. I don't think it's,
yeah,
follows that posting is defacing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I want to make this absolutely clear. I'm not going to go into your the political reasons why. I want to go into the, you want to express a view, it's how you express that view and where you express that view, correct? I'm not going to go into the view itself.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I'm not, you know, I'm not here to
judge on whether that's right or wrong, what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, to all intents and purposes, we're actually a pretty free country compared to a lot.
There are
abilities to at least, for instance, come to this court and express this view, and the court to hear this view. But going into the rights and wrongs of global advertising, I'm not going to do that. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's in there. There's a political view that you have, and you're entitled to have that view. And whether I have the same view or don't have the same view is irrelevant.
Yeah, I know that that's what's always said, but I tend to think that it does have somewhat of an impact on the final decision.
Yeah.
And it's quite frustrating for me that it's sort of kept undercover, but I do understand that that's the way that it's supposed to be.
Yep. Now, I'm going to go to paragraph 10 in your submissions.
Yep.
In this you say, I conducted this expression in the middle of the day at a busy public location. I knew to be surveilled by security staff with the full expectation of being disturbed by police. That is exactly the same as in relation to the other matter that went to the Supreme Court, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you say, I make no attempt to hide or get away with my expression, as I'm neither ashamed of my expression nor unwilling to defend it in the court of law. So the factual matrix, apart from the charge, is similar, done openly, where it will be seen and where you are potentially going to be apprehended or spoken to.
Yeah, and also where a large number of members of the public will see.
Yeah. Going to paragraph 11, you say, I've turned to this avenue of expression through a lack of effective alternative. In my opinion, the method I've chosen is the only method with any real chance of effectively and appropriately raising this issue in the public sphere. Now, you're saying there's no ability in any other forum at all to air your protest.
No, I'm not saying that there's no way that I can say what I'm saying in another way. What I'm saying is that to actually cause it to become an issue in the political scene of today. I could become an academic, I could write numerous tomes on the ills of advertising and how a media needs drastic reform, but ultimately that's going to be a conversation within a niche of liberal elites, and it's not going to have any major impact on major...
Yeah, and I'm not going to give you ideas for how you can, so it can later on be said that I told you you could do it this way. For example, recently, it appears that people have got into the Senate with very, very few votes.
Yeah, but that involved all sorts of preference harvesting, which I don't really sort of have the networking skills to carry out.
I'm simply making the point that there are many people, and who've made a difference by being who they are and making sure they get heard.
I guess once you...
And they haven't had to do it this way.
Yeah, potentially. Still, what I'd say about running for Parliament, I mean, even in the unlikely situation that I was elected with the media the way that it is, and with this sort of things that I'm pushing.
I don't think the media had any impact on some of the people who appear to be in the Senate.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about, yeah, once you're in, forget about the whole...
No, but in terms of actual... I suspect there are very, very few Australians have any idea of some of the people who've now been elected.
Yeah, and this is more a problem with the Senate voting system above the line. But say I did get in, then trying to press the points that I think are very important and that sort of need to be addressed globally, I'd probably get very little sympathy from the press, which is funded by advertising and run by people of like mind.
But it's a fairly defeatist attitude.
I don't think it's defeatist. I think it's more realistic. And because I feel so strongly, I can't do nothing, and I can't spend my life doing something that I think will have a very, very limited impact, if any at all. I mean, the same could be said of the method that I've chosen, but to me it feels more likely to make an impact.
See, I heard on the radio this morning that there's a person dressing up as a clown with balloons standing on street corners in England, scaring people who ring the police, and the police say, well, we can't do anything about it, they're doing nothing wrong. And that's being publicised in Australia. It's publicised widely in Britain. Word gets out. I don't know what it's all about. I heard on the radio.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've got no idea what it's about.
Yeah, either do I. I can't even guess.
But I'm just saying, that's a way of getting a message out somehow. I don't know what that person's trying to spread.
Yeah, well, it's not an effective communication of a political opinion, if he does have one. The fact that it's just being reported that a clown is scaring people and nobody can stop him. But yeah, I guess you can see what I'm doing is pretty much a clown with balloons scaring people. And what the legal system then does to me because of my actions is kind of a spectacle, which I want people to think about and to look at and, you know, to decide about. And the fact that I'm, you know, going to continue doing it, it's basically going to be my my life's pastime, is, you know, whether or not the legal system allows it, which it's very much looking like they're not going to, or whether I am continually incarcerated, people would have to think, what would lead a person to do this? And, you know, then I'd try to explain. Hopefully, I'll reach a few people.
Yeah, I just said that's the paragraph 11 gives me the impression of defeatist attitude when
there's certainly that running through me. I mean, I do want to have the biggest impact that I can, but ultimately, it's probably going to amount to very little, if anything at all. Mm-hmm. And that's not. I don't think it's defeatist. I think it's just accepting the likelihood of victory.
From little things, big things grow. I mean, lots of little movements have become big.
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm. All right. The paragraph 13 and this really applies very much to the facts of this matter. You make the distinction between the Supreme Court matter where you're charged with criminal damage and this matter.
Yeah.
And what you say is, I seek to make my point in a way that creates no damage to any property.
Yeah.
And you make the point that there's been no compensation sought in this matter, and by inference, well, that there hasn't been damage.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court decision also went into threat to damage property, didn't it?
Yeah, I believe it did, but that might have been talking about the fact that I had a paint bucket and a brush with me, even though I only intended to do what I'd done. Justice Cairo was of the opinion that I was to go elsewhere and to do more, similar offending, which I never was. But if the actual act itself creates no damage, then there's no threat of damage in that act or any threat of further actions.
Yeah, but the fact is, Justice Cairo paragraph 1997. Said, it's sufficient for me to state my conclusion that the exercise of the right in the form of damage to a third party's property or a threat of such damage is not protected by Section 52.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily involve damage.
Well, a threat of damage involves damage.
No, it doesn't.
Well,
there's no damage to threat.
Well, if the action that I've carried out is ruled to not constitute damage, which the prosecution have said in their submissions they don't believe it's damage, then how can the threat of further similar action be a threat to damage when that act itself involves no damage?
The threat of damage was, Justice Kyrou said, that threat of damage would still be sufficient to, as I said, paragraph 97. The exercise of the right in the form of damage to third party's property or a threat of such damage is not protected by Section 52. It doesn't have to involve damage.
I fail to see the logic in that. If the act itself is not damaged, then how can the threat of that act be considered a threat of damage?
But that's what Mr. Justice Kyrou said.
But he didn't say that. He said something about damage or threat of damage. And if we're just talking about the part threat of damage, then with my action, which has caused no damage according to the prosecution, there is no threat of damage.
Yeah, but I think if you go through the decision and my interpretation...
No, I don't have it.
Your Honour, I can show you.
Yeah, it's okay. I've read it.
Repeats that paragraph 99. Paragraph 101, the other charge of having the implements is akin to a threat of damage to a third party's property.
Yeah, but in that case he's talking about painting over ad shell, which was considered damage by him. So again, if we're talking about this action, it's completely different.
At paragraph 128, talks about the right to own and enjoy one's property free from unlawful interference. Doesn't refer to damage.
Yeah, well, I'm arguing that the interference that I've created
is not unlawful.
Is not unlawful. I could run some other lines of argument, but
The paragraph 151 includes laws that enable citizens to engage in their personal and business affairs free from unlawful physical interference to their personal property. So your argument is unlawful.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
See, it isn't restricted just to damage. It's interference. That's the word that's being used.
I think when he's saying interference...
Damage is one aspect of interference.
Yeah, well, I think that's a pretty... you can interpret it in that way if you want.
No, I'm giving you the opportunity to debate it.
The way I thought it was, you were presenting it as... As your opinion.
No. Okay. The purpose of this is for debate.
Yeah, okay. Advertising...
And plus, as you acknowledge, I'm bound by Superior Court decisions.
So
I have to deal with that.
Yeah, of course. I understand now. So I wouldn't deny that the private property, the advertising... has been interfered with in the way that the owners would like it to function, so of course they would regard it as interference, but I'm saying that political expression is lawful. I guess, I don't know, that's about it.
Mm. So it's really focusing on the word unlawful.
To be honest, I hadn't seen this threat to damage or hadn't looked through all of Cairo's decision like this with the idea.
Yeah, see, I being conscious of the difference, the question of no, and you refer to it in your submissions, but it doesn't really matter whether they did it in the course of their work or not. The whole question, there was no claim for damage, and that's different from the other matter for which I'm bound by the Supreme Court. And you said the point of difference is There's no damage.
There's no damage, but yeah, he does say it.
When one looks at that decision, the interpretation you can put on it is that damage is one element of interference. The word is more interference.
Yeah.
And damage can be interference. That's why I'm raising it with you.
Yeah, damage can be interference, yeah, and I'm not denying that what I've done could be knocked on the head because it's called interference, but yeah, I don't think that that is what Cairo meant when he was referring to interference, but...
Mm. No, but that's why I raised the whole question of the threat of damage too, because it wasn't restricted to damage.
I still can't understand how threat of damage is related to anything other than the threat of damage. Mm.
But that Cairo said it wasn't covered by 15.2.
Yeah, Cairo seemed to really dislike me.
No, and I'm bound by what he said. Now, the decision in Ramsden, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'll get access to that.
Yeah.
That basically involved bill posting on utility poles in the city. Yeah. That was considered in your matter? In the Supreme Court matter?
Yeah, it was.
It was. It could be argued, and I don't know, haven't read the prosecution submissions yet, but that's a little bit different because there was nothing on the light poles. It wasn't obscuring advertising, for instance.
Yeah. So it's back to the question of interfering with a private property owner. But what I'd say is that the primary purpose of the private property that they own is to project an image into public space. So...
Sorry.
It's okay.
Do you want me to, I'll just stand this down briefly.
So stand, please.
I think we've got to the Ramsden matter. But yeah, effectively that was putting bill posters up on utility poles. And it's also an offence created by summary offence punishable by a maximum fine of $2,000. Side paragraph 25, it's important to note that in Ramsden's case, the court was considering express that essentially constituted promotion of the accused's own band. These days, to put any bill posters up, for instance, musicians have to have a permit, do they, or not?
I don't think so. I think it's just open slather. And as far as I can tell, there's no permit system or anything. And there's even, you know, legitimate businesses that go around to it. Just wherever they can or wherever they think's appropriate. It's gone to the point where even political parties are paying these companies to go around putting their posters up. And as far as I can...
So, we don't... To your knowledge, there are no bylaws, for instance, in Melbourne about that prevent you from putting posters up in public areas, or...?
I believe that there is. I think some councils are particularly hard on people for putting them up on utility poles. But yeah, as far as the people, the companies that go around doing it, I don't think they've got any special permits or anything, they just do it. So just as Cairo said that people should be free to enjoy their private property, you know, and without interference, I guess I could say that the people who put these advertisements here, they're not sitting in front of them or around them enjoying them. It's not for their use that they enjoy them. It's to enter public space and to enter people's consciousness against their will. Really, if you're just walking through a public space, you haven't asked to see an advertisement, but you do see it because they have the wealth to buy a thin slice of private property adjoining some public space. So I'd say that it's not really a matter of me depriving the advertising companies of enjoyment of their private property as much as it is me depriving them of their ability to sort of invade public space.
One of the points that was made sort of throughout the Supreme Court decision was Section 20, which states a person must not be deprived of their property other than in accordance with law, and then referred back to Section 15.2, every person has the right to freedom of expression, which includes the freedom to seek, receive, and impart information. And that was a point that was regularly made. But in a sense, if there's an advertisement there, that by blocking it, you're prohibiting or inhibiting a person's opportunity to view.
Yeah, well, if it's said that their space that they own is sort of public space that's unable to be covered, then that's limiting the rights of humans who don't have such enormous resources. But yeah, the focus on the imparting of ideas that happens through advertising, yeah. I should have an expert witness to be here to talk about how advertising contains nothing of the sort. Yeah, it's more about emotional manipulation. Yeah.
I did an economics degree in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
But the in a sense, once they have the space, then people are entitled to view it, aren't they?
People are entitled to see what?
To receive that information.
Well, it's kind of like if you own some property and you just want to blast out static noise from a sound system at people. Like, there's laws against that. And likewise, I think there should be laws against visual pollution that's sort of occurred under this advertising culture.
There should be laws, which means
you've
got to get into Parliament and do something about that.
Well, not necessarily. Or if you influence the lawmakers, influence the community, then it's going to happen anyway. I don't have any desire to be the actual person who signs a dotted line or anything like that. But what I'm doing with this argument is trying to say that a human rights argument grants an avenue for me to challenge the domination of advertising of public space.
Yep.
And that's sort of how we can step into a real debate and think about whether or not it's right. I know that it is currently allowed that if you own private property next to public space, you can advertise whatever you want there. But I disagree with it. And so it is fundamental to the expression. I know that Ramsden was putting his posters up on a pole, which was blank otherwise. But it's important for me to block it because that is the expression. That's the symbol. That's saying, hey, do we have to see this? We're in public space. That's private property. So I guess you could even argue, I mean, this is ridiculous, but this is the kind of level that it gets down to, that my posters actually exist in public space, hanging off the private property. Now, where do you draw the line?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, at paragraph 30, this is the heading 3C, McGee and Delaney, findings and distinctions. And what you're really saying to me is, well, this is different from that matter, and that's why it's got a point of difference where you can distinguish it from what is a binding decision on me, right?
Yes.
He was concerned with the charge of paragraph 31. He's concerned with the charge of criminal damage. Damage consisted of painting over an advertising panel. He's unheld that any expression involving damage could not be protected under section 15 of the Charter for public policy considerations over and above the specific limitations of the Charter itself. central to his decision was that the political expression was made by way of committing an act of damage. And that comes back to, you could interpret his decision as that the whole thing about interference and his damage as part of interference. That's going to be something for me.
Yeah, I guess, well, if you're looking at interference, then it's a, like a question of public order under the Charter, and then the public order arguments that I've laid out are relevant.
Yep.
And what I would say is that any interference with corporate advertisement is of such a minute scale that it really shouldn't overwhelm someone's human right to meaningful political expression. And, you know, the fact that they blasted off with pressure water hoses in the regular way that they clean the station, it's really a minor inconvenience of them, for them, completely reversible with no effort.
One of the things the late in the decision may not have he seems to say how minor it is isn't relevant. That's probably wrongly worded.
Yeah, I think his decision was problematic in a lot of ways because he made no...
Can I just, while I've got it in my head,
yeah.
I'll come back to that. No paragraph problem. 202, because that was one of Mr. Holt's submissions. It wasn't paragraph 202. Paragraph 206. The penalty that may be imposed upon conviction for an offence does not form part of the elements of that offence, therefore it has no bearing on the circumstances which a person may be found guilty. Each of the lesser offences rendered Mr. McGee's act of painting over the advertisement a criminal offence, in that sense prohibited it. The fact that an offence carries a lower penalty does not alter the nature of the prohibition. And I took that as saying that the fact that it might be viewed as minor doesn't justify it.
Yeah, that may be true, but the interference is minor, and I can't remember the point I was going to make.
Yeah, but that is a... This is the offence that you've been charged with is far lesser than criminal damage.
Yeah.
And that was argued, and the point that he determined was, well, it's not relevant. I don't know whether he said it's not relevant.
It wouldn't surprise me.
He says the fact that the lower penalty does not alter the nature of the prohibition.
It would be paragraph 202, Your Honour. You were
paragraph 202. Yeah.
Well, the upshot of his decision really is that any expression that causes any damage or interference whatsoever, so pretty much what anybody decides is undesirable or some party decides is undesirable, can therefore be struck down and not covered under freedom of expression. But to use the example that Saul used in that hearing, he was talking of the Aboriginal tent embassy being on, you know, the public land. They put their tent up over the grass. The grass is going to die underneath. That's damage to public property. Under Justice Cairo's decision, that could invalidate their whole expression. Obviously, the expression is far more important than the life of the lawn underneath.
I don't think he'd read his decision to say that there's no rights.
Well, he said any interference. Yeah, no matter how minor. I guess it could be saying that wrong. Well, I guess if you're bound by the decision and you've read it to say that, then you're bound by it.
I am bound by a Supreme Court decision, and you appropriately identified that. And what you sought to do in 3C is saying distinctions.
Yeah.
And in that way, saying that shouldn't apply to this particular fact situation. And one of the points you made early on was, in paragraph 10 was, I was trying to be seen, I did it openly, I wanted it to be seen, is applicable here The difference is the method. One is painting over an ad.
Yeah.
The other one is posting over an ad.
Yeah, in real terms, there's very little difference between the two offences. They're both cleaned in exactly the same way.
That's right.
But in legal terms, there's a world of difference.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm bound by his decision, and what are the distinctions which you identified?
Yeah.
And the point you had been making, and have been making, is damage.
Yeah.
That's where you make the distinction.
Yeah. And even though it is functionally the same, I'd say the fact that it's not damaged does invalidate a lot of what he said.
Well, yeah, that's
not the only thing.
What you're saying is a distinction. All right, I'll go on. See, the present charge concerns a charge of postering over an advertising structure. Unlike criminal damage, it's not an element of the present charge that damage occurred, correct? Nor does the charge sheet allege damage occurred, correct? But again, we're focusing on damage. Furthermore, if the prosecution seeks to allege damage, they should have preferred either the charge of willful damage or criminal damage, and they could have potentially done that. The court cannot take into account an aggravating feature, correct? Therefore, the public policy limitation imposed by Justice Cairo on expressions that involve damage has no application in this case. So that's where you are making the distinction, I think. And then paragraph 35, he went on after already having made his decision to rule the limiting considerations within section 15.3 of the Charter itself were sufficient to limit the right of freedom of expression. So the distinction, the only distinction I see that you're making is the damage.
Yeah, and as I understood it, that was what Cairo's decision ultimately turned on, was the damage that occurred.
Yeah.
And, I guess I come a little bit unprepared for answering to the other statements that he made, because I thought disposing of the element of damage freed you to make a judgment on this without Cairo's decision having any say. But, it appears I was leaving out a few statements.
Well, no. I've read his decision, and what you've said here is absolutely correct. If there's a distinction from that, I'm not bound by it, but I have to determine there's a distinction.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, you know the facts of each of the matters. I mean, you know the facts of the you could transpose the matters that occurred in the bus shelter to the railway station. Same as the method, because the method was to and I agree with the I think Cairo said it was an expression, and whereas I think the magistrate said it wasn't.
The magistrate said it was an expression, but he denied that it was art.
Yeah, okay.
And then Cairo said it was an expression, it's not important to say whether it's art or not.
Paragraph 3, was the painting over the advertisement capable of imparting information or ideas to the purpose of section 15.2? Yes, and I accept that what you're doing is capable of imparting information. I mean, if you looked at what the person was doing and looked at the words, it's clear that you're covering over advertising, it's making a point. So it's part of imparting information.
Yeah, added to the text.
Right, the text as well, but the I think each of them could be viewed as imparting information, imparting a message, and trying to get a message across, right?
Yeah.
So the distinction is purely the method of doing it.
Yeah.
Is the way I'm viewing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I'll just go on. When you go into the limitations on section 15.2, it's covering similar ground, which Cairo pretty much did as well, because Cairo pretty much said, well, I don't actually need to get to 15.3 because was the painting over the advertisement capable of imparting information, and yes. Does the imparting of information or ideas by means of damage, and he uses the word damage, to a third party's property engage the right to freedom of expression conferred by section 15.2? No. He pretty much said that beyond that point he didn't need to go any further.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he went through at least several paragraphs. Yeah, and I wasn't quite sure why he would do that. Supreme Court judges normally don't rule on what they aren't supposed to. It just does seem like some sort of personal vendetta against this argument.
I think it's what we call dicta rather than ratio. In other words, it's a comment that's being made, but you're not bound by it.
Yeah, okay.
It's persuasive, but not binding.
Yeah, right. Well, if that's the case, then I believe that saying that this offence doesn't involve damage frees you from the parts of the decision which you are definitely bound by.
But it still comes back to whether damage is an element of interference. So if you put at the top of a pyramid interference, there are many ways to interfere. One is to damage.
Yeah.
One is stand in front of.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could use my body to block the ad for several hours.
Well, a number of people.
Yeah. I sort of still think that this method does interfere, but the level of interference is very very small and shouldn't outweigh.
That's where the comments made about minor, where.
Yeah. Anyway. The intricacies of legal arguments aren't something I'm very good at.
No, no. You've set them out.
Seriously.
Set them out well here.
Yeah.
It's more a debate.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I don't really know what to say.
That's when he went to the public order aspect of it.
Yeah, I did write the submissions to be pretty titled. Yeah, so I sort of hadn't really prepared to say much more than what is already in there.
Yeah, no, but that's what I said on the last occasion. Because I've not seen it, I've not seen the coroner's decision. I need to have an opportunity to read it, and then I need to have an opportunity to discuss it, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
See, the point you're making in paragraph 54, for instance, my conduct caused very little to or no interference to the ordinary and customary use of the train station. My bodily presence there is no more interference than that caused by any of the hundreds of people within the public train station. It's calm, unobtrusive to anyone without interest. And the point you're making there is that, well, I'm not really breaching public order because I'm not interfering with anyone's ability to go about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's correct. And the only argument that the prosecution has put forward about my interference has been the interference with the advertising company.
But it also, as I referred to Section 20 before, it also, sorry, Section 15, people have the right to receive information too.
Yeah.
And you might not want them to receive that information, but
I sort of deny that it's information, and again, I need
That's the point. It could be information to do with public health.
Yeah, well, I'd probably not cover over anything that I deemed actual information. Yeah, what I did cover over was an ad for sugar water, with people riding bikes and big smiles on their faces. There's no information there apart from you can buy drinks, which everybody knows.
But that's your opinion. See. If it's a public, how do I distinguish, for instance, between, say, a public health ad, right? You're the one that makes the decision. You're the one that makes the decision as to what the public should see, what the public shouldn't see.
Yeah, I don't think it's just my reasoning. I think it's pretty sort of standard way of viewing things. I mean, a public health message, and I mean, advertising for public safety and all sorts of public interest sort of things is is a funny area, particularly for me with my idea that we shouldn't be advertising at all. But I think it's pretty clear when an advertisement doesn't contain any information and has no public benefit whatsoever. And I guess what I would argue is that these ads are doing more damage to the community than they are helping the community. So right to receive information for a child to have the right to receive information that they should drink more sugary water and that'll bring them happiness. I don't know whether it's like saying I have the right to be robbed or I have the right to, you know, sort of
but the
be
end
done
of the
any
day,
personal harm.
You're making the decision as to what.
Yeah, I'm making the decision, but then I'm coming to the courts and saying this is my reasoning. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's up to the judiciary to decide whether advertising has any public benefit.
No, it's not for me to make a decision about whether advertising has any public benefit.
Well, if you're saying that the imparting of ideas and information is an important part of democracy, then surely you have to rule on what's information and ideas and what's not.
No.
So any information or anything that could be construed as information.
What's the section say?
So could it not be said that the person who pastes over the utility pole is preventing the viewer from receiving the information contained on the wood grain of the utility pole? The pattern there that the wood makes, or, you know, the dusty surface, that has some kind of information there.
Maybe
so it goes into a realm of abstraction.
It does.
Really absurd.
You know, I'm just simply making the point that you're the one that's making the decision about the imparting. Where's the section?
Well, I guess another argument I could put there is that...
Sorry, are you after section 10?
Section 15.
I have it here.
I have it here. But it's
most. I believe I mentioned this somewhere in my submissions, but the charter talking about the right to receive and impart information, it's rights that apply to human beings, and the corporations who run the advertising space and the corporations who put the ads on there with the advertising corporation, they don't have any rights under the charter.
Didn't the Cairo deal with that?
Cairo did deal with it. He totally misinterpreted the clear wording of the charter, in my opinion.
But that's a basis for an appeal to the Court of Appeal. I'm bound by his decision.
Yeah. Well, if you can go to the... I don't have that decision in front of me, but I can't remember the exact wording of... he basically said, when the charter said human beings... Oh, when it said persons, it wasn't referring to just human beings.
That's what he said, and this is one of the... For the purpose of section 15.3a of the Victorian Charter is the right to freedom of expression subject to lawful restrictions reasonably necessary to respect the property rights of other persons, irrespective of whether those persons are human beings, companies, government bodies, or other types of legal entities. Yes.
Yeah, so he said that, but in the Human Rights Charter, person is defined as person means a human being. Mm. To say that the writers of that legislation were so clumsy that they used a word that they had defined elsewhere and didn't actually mean that is a bit of a stretch. And yeah, I will appeal that decision when I can.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm just saying.
He's made that judgment and it's binding on you.
Yeah.
So you...
No, I'm simply saying that there's a right of appeal to the Court of Appeal.
Yeah.
But I'm bound by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to appeal.
Yeah, all right. Just going back to section 15.2. Every person has the right to freedom of expression, which includes the freedom to seek, receive, impart information. So receive information and ideas. Receive information. An advertisement is information, whether you like it or not. Is information.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, but you're the one making the decision on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's sort of legal argument.
And there are means, if something is falsely advertised, there are laws relating to false advertising.
Yeah, that's true, where a factual claim is made that's provable to be false.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess the lies are a bit more diffuse in advertising. You can't say, oh, that sign there had a girl smiling riding a bike when she was drinking. That doesn't happen when you drink that drink. This ad is a lie. You can't knock down advertising using those laws. And that's probably why those laws are useless in controlling advertising, because it's not about factual claims anymore. It's about emotional manipulation, psychological tricks, all sorts of skullduggery.
Look, we all know advertising is for the purpose of getting purchase product.
I'd say it's not
it's about profit. It's not about it's about profit and not about how good it will be for you.
Certainly
but it's
not.
Information.
The only information contained really is the brand name you were supposed to buy.
Mm.
That's the one bit of information they make sure they don't miss out on.
Yeah.
And I guess even if so we rule that it's information. The right to receive and impart information, I mean, it can't be absolute in any society. I mean, when somebody's talking, someone else is quiet. That's just the nature of conversation. Somebody could talk over somebody. Are they going to wind up in court saying this person was interfering with my freedom of expression? And yeah, I am going over the top of an advertisement. They've had the opportunity to say what they're saying, if they are saying anything, in that train station, in multiples. For months, you know, they're up there for weeks and weeks. What I put up stayed there for probably from about 3 o'clock when I did it till the cleaning shift came in that night. Me speaking over them is a tiny little speck of the time. And even saying that, like, I was able to cover 3 panels in the time I was there. The whole place is totally plastered with the same message. So to say that I'm really interfering with their message or with what they're trying to impart, it's actually that's something that I wrote down that I've forgotten about in this circumstance in this train station where there's so many of the same advertisement. I covered only 3 of what was probably hundreds of multiple. They're still getting to speak. I'm getting to make my expression otherwise, and I don't think that they should have 100% right to. And that's another thing I raised in the submissions, that there is no legal right to say that if you own just a thin slice of public private property adjoining public space, then you can then project whatever image wish.
Yeah, what you say at paragraph 59, this right to project into public space from a strategically placed thin slice of private property, which has become culturally accepted for some strange reason, has no legal basis. There's nothing explicit or implied in private property law that grants the right to property owners to project whatever image they would like into a public space. That's what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But there is a legal protection for the sort of expression that I'm doing. So I've done it over the top of an advertisement. But what I'm doing has some legal protection, and what they're doing kind of has none. I mean, I know it's their private property, but there's no explicit. So where you're talking about the human rights of someone making a political expression, or the rights of a private property owner, which aren't spelled out in law anywhere.
Yep.
I think that, the law should...
Yeah, at paragraph 63, it's a bit of my expression constitutes political expression. Yes?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I wrote that.
Oh, yeah, you say paragraph 64. The only limit which could potentially apply is the need to preserve public order under section 15.3b. Any disturbance of public order is minimal and well below the threshold of acceptable disturbance as outlined in Booker's case.
Yeah, I spoke about how political expression is to be afforded the highest protection, and involved in that is that threats to public order have to be greater to result in a limitation of that expression. So in this case of political expression, where the only threat to public order is is some soggy bits of paper that have to be hosed off that night, I'd say that that's an insufficient threat to public order to limit the right.
So you'd agree that there are some that would go over the line. There, you, what you're saying is it depends on the facts?
Yeah, it's very, it's case specific, completely case specific.
Yeah. And what you'd say is this is a minor example, and therefore political expression should overrule that.
Yeah. Political expression should not be limited by such a minor interference.
And then effectively how you finish this off, and I suppose you're saying that this section of the Act is incompatible with the Charter.
Sorry?
Section 10 of the Act is incompatible with the Charter of Human Rights.
In certain circumstances, yes.
Yeah.
Or actually, I'm not saying it's incompatible, it's that if expression is protected by the Charter, then that can be seen as lawful excuse necessary to exempt you from prosecution under Section 10. So, it's limiting what can be charged under that charge. According to the content of the communication, I mean, it could be so that commercial postering is not covered under freedom of expression, particularly where it's not an individual person who stands to profit, and there'd be nothing to prevent prosecution under Section 10(1) of the Summary Offences Act. It's just case specific. When you've just first got to rule whether it's protected expression, and then if that's the case, that can be seen as lawful excuse.
Well, see, the heading number 6, Declaration of Inconsistent Interpretation, referral to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
This section is only relevant if the court finds it cannot interpret the offence of posting bills and defacing property consistently with the Charter.
Yeah.
So effectively you are saying.
No, that would be if you couldn't. Say you did find that freedom of expression protected what I'd done, but you found no way to reconcile that with the charge that arises out of the same activity, then it could be referred to the Supreme Court. But what I'm saying first in that situation where you've got the freedom of expression and you've got the charge is that the freedom of expression can constitute the lawful excuse that exempts you from the charge, and that's what I believe is probably the best way to resolve that situation.
I'm now going to go to the prosecutor. I'll just have a read of this.
Thank you.
prosecution would agree that the that this was Kyra's decision was the what occurred part of information or ideas for purposes of section 15.2.
Yes, Your Honour. I believe that the Mr. McGee is more making, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the decision of Mr. Kyra would be more, there's similarities in the same defence of the freedom of expression, despite the offence itself being somewhat different. The prosecution, he hasn't been charged with anything criminal damage or anything where a lawful excuse is required. It's more a consent as per the wording in section 10.
Those words,
criminal
damages without lawful excuse.
Yeah.
So that implies that there can be circumstances where there's an excuse that could be damaging a door, breaking in to try to get somebody out. Therefore, it's damaged, but it's not criminal because you're trying to get somebody out of there.
The wording in bill posting itself
and
is consent.
With consent, yeah. if you go and get consent, then therefore the bill posting wouldn't be illegal. So I think they're similar concepts. Yep.
Yes, Ron. I'm unsure if Your Honour would like me to address any of the issues that have been raised since. I believe that damage has probably been...
It's
conceded that there is no damage and there's no restitution sought in relation to the damage. And the time between Mr. McGee posting them and them being removed, once again, there's no damage in relation to that. But the prosecution would concede that would submit that damage was not part of the offence of bill posting of which he's been charged with. In relation to the freedom of...
But that's where Mr. McGee is saying you can distinguish between the decision of Kyra. That's his argument, is because there wasn't damage.
Yes.
Therefore, and what I'm saying is you could interpret Kyra's decision has been damaged as part of interference.
Yes, Your Honour.
He uses that word regularly.
And to supplement that also, the human rights argument in relation to the expression, of which Kyra also addresses, including public order and in particular the type of the form of expression that the accused has used. And as Your Honour has pointed out, the other human rights, the other people and members of the public that have been have had their rights also affected as a result of Mr. McGee's actions, they have rights also, not specifically the advertisement company. Admittingly, they obviously pay substantial money to have the advertisement boards there, but the prosecution would submit that any member of the public walking in that concourse area has a right to view and, as we've already discussed, 15.2, receive information, whether it's in print or orally. The prosecution would also submit that perhaps 15 subsection 3, in that the special duties and responsibilities are attached to the right of freedom of expression, and the right may be subject to lawful restrictions, in particular the respect of rights and reputation of other people. Other than what's written in the written submission and what's already been brought to the attention of Mr. McGee in relation to the decision of Mr. Kyra, the prosecution have nothing further, unless you would like to question.
Anything else, Mr. McGee?
I don't think so. There was one thing I forgot to hand up on the first day of the hearing, which is a report from my psychologist. Often magistrates are a little bit curious about my mental state, and my psychologist was quite insistent that he would write a report, so I'll hand that up if...
Probably shouldn't receive that now. I shouldn't, because evidence is finished.
Oh, okay.
There's been no finding. It's only if there's a finding of guilt that I'd be looking at it.
Oh, okay.
It's not relevant to my decision on this, as to a finding of guilt or otherwise.
All right. I'll give it to you later if there's bad news.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not making a decision today.
Yeah, of course.
Provide written reasons. Can you speak to Jane? 7th of October, what time? 7th of October, 2 p.m.
On the 30th of September. I have spoken to the clerk in relation to that. Hopefully I will be able to return in order for
It's going to be, put it this way, it's going to be at 2 o'clock. You've got something in the morning.
Yes, Your Honour.
Adjourned till 2 p.m. on the 7th of October, it's a Monday.